Hey. Lord, that's good. That's good singing.
Amen.
What did I tell you to say? That's good. That was good. That's better than good. That's gooder than good. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Well, God's that way. God's that way. He begins to think what all the Lord has done. One writer said, when I began to think of all of this, said, my soul just cries out. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We are so glad to be here. This anniversary business, this was not something Brother and Sister Rutledge, as far as our getting married on an anniversary, that isn't something they said that would be cute to do because it's their anniversary. That was my idea, and I didn't know it was their anniversary. See, the Lord had to be in us getting married, I guess, for that one reason. Or maybe the devil. But we are glad to be here tonight, and this is just a sweet presence of God. And you can't help but have a good presence of God.
Amen.
When the saints of God gather together.
Right.
I think if we don't, there's something wrong. We need to come together with that in mind. Hallelujah. I want tonight, before I ask Sister Debbie to sing, I want us to sing a song that just kind of go along in my heart tonight. I know y'all sing it a lot, and I was debating about even starting to get up here and lead it. I'm not going to sing it. We're going to sing it. It just, thank God, huh? I don't know why it's enough for me to preach over here, Brother Murray. I've never figured that out yet. It just tells the whole story. It just says, 'tis a sweet and glorious thought that comes to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'd like you just to worship the Lord and sing tonight. Just let God touch our hearts. Thank these young ladies, for the service and just all that God is doing. And let's just let our hearts reach. Let's sing it tonight. That's not it at all. Number 325. 'Tis a sweet and glorious thought that comes to me. I live on, for I live on. Jesus saved my soul. Thank the Lord. Last night we were going down by Magnolia, preaching three nights down there, and the storm that blew in that I'm sure we all are aware of, except Brother James, he is asleep. But we were down in the air, and right about the time one of them was supposed to be coming through. And Richie had tried to go to sleep on the way, and I knew if he did, I had to carry him in, so I told him, stay awake till we get there. And his mother, I guess, is about like Sister Sharon when it comes to storms. She was getting worried about it. I think she was trying to look for the tornado. And I knew that if, as scared as Richie was, as frightened as he was getting, if she ever got loose, then by the time she got finished with Richie, we'd really have havoc in that car. So I was trying to act like everything was all right, and Brother Jackson underneath, I was looking for the tornado, thinking, oh no. Through her talking and through the wind blowing and the branches beginning to break in places, Richie was getting scared, and finally he come up with the conclusion. He said, Daddy, said, would it be all right if I'd go ahead and go to sleep right now? Instead of waiting to church. In his mind, he thought, if I can sleep, the storm coming, I won't know anything about it. I won't be aware of it. And we got into that service last night, and there were some people there that had been there through every night of the meeting, and some of them with, you can tell on some face, their countenance, that they just don't want to be moved by God. Don't want. They come to church with that in mind. And that, anything of God that is able to know of some like this, I think that has to break a heart. That touches my heart. They come saying, I don't plan on being moved. And I think what they've done, they've taken the little boy's cry, I want to go to sleep. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be aware of it. Don't tell me things that can shake me. There's a time that we need to stay awake through the midst of the storm. I need to know what's going on about me. Know that I'm ready. And know that I'm looking. Hallelujah. Keep my eyes fastened. I want to know where the Lord is. And where He is, that's where I desire to be. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to read from the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, again, I'd like to read in the first chapter, the 17th verse. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sing the chorus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Good-looking crowd tonight. The good-looking congregation of people. I appreciate this Brother Sammy's testimony. And the church ought to just, I started to say proud. I guess we ought to be proud. We don't know who's looking at us. If you come to church some night gloomy or sad or had a fight with your wife before you came and you're not talking and things are going rough, someone liable to come in and say, I don't want none of that. I can have that at home. I don't need to go to church. I think the saints of God ought to come looking like the saints of God. With a praise on our heart. When you come with a praise on your heart, you don't come down trodden and saying, I don't know how I'm going to get through. There's something about it. When we begin to praise God, all of that leaves us. We begin to worship and praise. Hallelujah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. The seventh verse, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord showed me something just in the last couple of days out of this verse that has been an encouragement to me. The seventh verse, Jonah said, I remembered the Lord. I remembered the Lord. There could be different times or different instances when an individual might make the statement, whether it be audible or inwardly, that they might make the cry, I remember God. We had a family in our church last week. The man deals with cattle. He has some cattle on his out in the country. His little girl, about two years old, I guess, got a hold of some dehorning acid that is used to remove the horns off the cows. And as this little girl took it, she saw it in a container that her dad had put it in, and she began to drink this acid. And the potency, the severity, the problems it could have aroused over it, we were able to thank God. And this is one time I believe that the hand of God prevented what could have been and maybe should have been. As she took this to her mouth, it was just enough to touch her lips. And as she tried to wipe it off, her lip began to burn and open up and swell. And even the doctor had the concern that if any of that had entered into the body. And I was made to be able to praise God and to say that I'm glad in times like these we can say, I think about God. I remember God. There's times when a parent will see the sick child and in all that they will try to do or endeavor to do, they are unable to bring that condition as they know it should be. Brother Rutledge and I believe it was today, made mention of the time when Brenda had her polio. Well, there's everything you know to do, and still you come against the brick wall and say, I don't know what I can do. But those are the times the cry from the inward heart says, I can and I must remember God. Amen. Now, those are the good times. I'm glad when times are dark and bleak and dreary. I'm thankful that I can go to God and I can remember there is a God. But the cry of Jonah isn't one of really, it doesn't have the joy connotation that it could have had. Jonah says, I remembered God. If I were to just read this seventh verse, chapter of this second verse, I'd say, that's good, Jonah. I'm glad you remembered God.
Right.
Jonah, I want to tell you, if he walked into one of our services tonight and he would stand and make a testimony, it would probably be, I want to tell this church that I do remember God. And we may not know the rest of the praise. We may not be aware of what brought the I remember God. There can be complications. But as we read in this life, it's a shame that so many people have to meet tragedy before they remember the Lord. It's a shame. It's a shame that souls have to meet with heartache, and countless numbers more will meet in eternity before they finally realize, I've got to cry to God. Jonah's cry on saying he remembered God, as we read the third through the sixth verse, Jonah paints, and this isn't a new story, we know it, but he paints a bleak picture of what he's going through. You know, nobody knows what someone else is going through. I've gone into our church and different churches and shake hands with someone, and I've got two people in our church. I do not ever go to them unless all I say is praise the Lord. And then I'm walking away as soon as I say that. I learned when we first went there, and it took me longer than it should have to learn not to say, praise the Lord, how are you? I don't do that anymore, because they're never good. They're never good. If someone had died in here and they had inherited $1 million, they've still got problems. They've still got something to worry about. And, you know, things are bad. Things are bleak. But there are times in each of our lives we walk, and I might go, and Sister Frank's having a bad time and things are going rough. I might say, Sister Frank, I know what you're going through. Really, I don't. I don't really know. I don't know where you've been. I don't know how deep it seems to bring to you. Jonah, in his cry, he says, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and in the floods come past me about. All thy billows and thy waves cast me over. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple.
Hallelujah.
The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. Jonah's telling how low he's managed to bring himself. Jonah's saying, I am gone. And his words, he called his trial or his ordeal the belly of hell. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. From the belly of hell, from the midst of the pit, I cried to God. When I realized where I was, when I realized what I was now involved in, I recognized that I was in the belly of hell. And I remember God. And I remember God. And I remember God. I have to realize that no matter what I'm going through, that there is a God that's there to help me out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jonah, let me just very, very briefly make mention. Jonah, we know the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to go. Said he went and he found a ship bound for Tarshish. Now, if that be some of us, we might make the statement, see, everything's working out all right. I found the ship to go exactly where I wanted to go. And Jonah got on board, paid the fare, headed out towards Tarshish. But I want to say tonight, there are always ships anchored in the harbor, waiting to take us any place we want to go.
Oh, bless the Lord.
I do not have to live for God. I know we have to live a life of real holiness, not what some are trying to bring in, but really living for God. I don't have to love God. I don't have to forsake the world. I can get on a ship to go any place I want to go. But a ship, there's a ship to take me to the bars if I'm looking for one. There's a ship to carry our young people into the very midst of sin if that's what we're looking for. And I don't need to stand and say, well, it's just this just opened up. This is an opportunity. A lot of people will leave a good church because an opportunity takes them to a job that makes 50 cents more in the hour, a place where there may not be any church, and they think the Lord opened this up. No, you just went ship looking. You just got on board the wrong ship. There are captains of every vessel that's backing us on ship. There are masters of that ship that will say, come on, come on, come ride this ship. Come on and go with me. And if we follow the trial of those ship's captains, we're going to find ourselves out in the stormy sea. We're going to find ourselves out in the midst of the waves and saying, how am I ever going to get out of here?
Oh, God.
I want to say this, and then I'm going on, and I don't know, I guess it's all right to say it. You young people, this beautiful looking choir. Brother Bernard said, you see all those young people? Beautiful looking choir. I want to tell you, there's ships waiting on you.
Yep.
You may not like to hear this, but you're going to hear it right now anyhow. And I know Brother Rutledge preaches it. You young ladies, you young men, you keep your eyes off the world hunting for a mate.
Amen.
You start saying that good-looking fella, that sweet-looking girl, that, oh, they're so lovely, they're nice, they told me they never stopped me from coming to church. Or they told me, I heard one here not long ago make a statement, not in this church. They said, well, I don't plan on ever getting serious with them, and I don't plan on ever falling in love. I don't plan on marrying. Listen, when you start riding the ship of that shopping around in the world, and Satan begins to get his clutches in you, you don't know what's going to happen. You stay with God and leave that ship alone. Hallelujah. I have had, in the years that we traveled, I have seen hundreds of young Pentecostal girls that married out of the church, and they now, their husbands giving them all manner of trouble trying to keep them from the house of God. And you say, well, you feel sorry for them. They shouldn't have ever left the will of God. You stay off that ship. They're here. There are ships. There are men. There are vessels to take you from God. I could go down if time permitted. There are ships to take you from prayer. Ships to keep you out of the altar. Ships to keep you away from consecration. And there are ships to keep you out of church. If I don't want to come Wednesday night, I can find 1,000 excuses to stay home. I can get more aches and pains. I can get more. We had, and this took the cake for me. This was the best I've ever heard. If some of you haven't used this yet and want to call in sick Wednesday night, go ahead. Someone called one of our families and said, beautiful day, about a year ago, said, Sister Price, we won't be there tonight. Said, there's a storm in Little Rock and we don't think we're going to come. I knew that was the cake. That was the one that, it was just great. I couldn't wait to get to church and tell them why some of them weren't there, because there's a storm. I was surprised everybody came tonight. There's a storm in Little Rock. We should all stay. If I want to miss it, and listen, it may be humorous, but I believe in the need of being behind my church. I believe in the need of being here. And if I'm looking, I can find any reason to stay away from the things of God. But what I better find is the mind that before the trouble comes, I better say, I remember God. I hear shouting on Wednesday night. I hear praise the Lord on every service night, because I know what my God is. And I love that God.
Amen.
Thank you.
doing all right.
Amen.
Jonah said, "Thou cast me into the deep. Thou cast me out." The feeling, that Jonah must have possessed is something that I'll never know. I've gone through small things, and when I consider what others are going through, I haven't been through anything. I've gone through trials and think, how am I ever going to get out? And I look at it on the other end of the trial and say, Lord, I shouldn't have ever even worried for one minute. I'm not going through anything. This man, now, imagine in the stomach of a fish. Now, I've never been inside a fish. I've never yet seen what it's like. I don't plan on looking. Brother Chip, if I ever get a hold of a bass that big, I'm going to let him go. He ain't coming in. But as Jonah was thrown out, and you stop and consider this moment. You know, that's the children's Bible story that we hear about. But you imagine if that man has been thrown into the sea, suddenly some great fish coming, call it what you want, some great fish taking that man in, and all the time he's aware. As he is thrown inside of that, I do not believe that fish was considered enough to say, we're going to have windows on the side to allow sunlight to come in. I don't believe there was any means of saying, you can sit here, this is your bed, take it easy, you know, there's your refrigerator, just relax. I think as Jonah suddenly come to the awareness, I just swallowed my fish. Here I am. Now, how large that inside was is up to you. Let it be as big as your imagination. I read that they have opened up some fish in the Mediterranean Sea. And one time, it's on record, they found about a 1,700-pound horse that this one fish had swallowed whole. So if you don't believe that Jonah could go inside the well, I doubt if Jonah was anywhere near me. I doubt he's over 1,000 pounds maximum, you know. And the size of that inside, I don't know. But as Jonah had to come and realize, all of this has come about because I walked away from God. Everything that's happened is because I walked away. This isn't one of those, I'm going to put it off on somebody else. Or someone else did this, or someone else brought this. In the inky black darkness of the innermost of that fish, Jonah began to realize that if something doesn't happen, now I don't know. I wondered the other night, I honestly wondered if Jonah had any intention or any idea that God can get me out of here. I wonder if he just thought, you know, I'm beyond. I don't know that he cried to say, Lord, bring me out of here. He might have thought it's already beyond. And when he began to pray to God, it might not have been with any intention on coming out of that fish, but suddenly he said, here I am. And by his own cry, he said, with the weeds wrapped about my neck, not able to sit out, undoubtedly not able to lay down, and twisted and contorted in so many different ways inside that fish. And that whale began to surface, and at times it'd go, Jonah said, to the bottom of the mountains, to the bottom of the sea. There goes that fish, and there goes Jonah. And I don't know, that fish, I believe he acted worse than he'd ever acted. Yeah. He had something inside of him like he ain't never eaten before. He ate some midnight snack he's never had. And that fish is just up and down. I think that maybe the Lord might allow that fish to act worse just to remind Jonah, Jonah, you better walk the straight and narrow way. Jonah, you better watch what you're doing. In case Jonah would not know. Hallelujah. In case Jonah would decide, I think I'm going to try and catch a little sleep. I'm tired in here. I believe about that time the fish would decide to go to the top of the sea. And when Jonah would suddenly relax again, back down to the depth of the ocean one more time. And all that time, Jonah's saying, God, you cast me out. God, you put me here. God, why am I in this mess? And all this water, he's saying, you've done this, Lord. You did this, Lord. You brought this, Lord. You put this here, Lord. And off and out it goes. I'm in problems. I'm in troubles. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know if I'll ever get out of this. But in the up and down, twisted, blacky condition, Jonah suddenly is crying. He said, hey, I want to say I remember my God. I remember a God that is strong and powerful. You've been swallowed by a fish.
No.
Your car getting wrecked and the insurance canceled out 2 weeks earlier and you didn't know it?
That ain't like getting swallowed by a fish.
You can get the car fixed, but how do you get out of the fish's belly? That's the problem. How do you get yourself out of the mess that you've allowed yourself to come into? I was thinking along with this. Brother Haywood, G.T. Haywood wrote a tremendous song, and in one of the verses of that song he penned some precious words. He said, when gloom and sadness whisper, you've sinned, no use to pray. He said, I look away to Jesus. He tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of light.
Hallelujah.
As Jonah began to pray out of the belly of hell, I would think that old Slewfoot come beside him and tried to stop his prayers. I think Satan must have gone to the very depth of the pit with him and said, Jonah, you old rascal, you had it now, boy. Jonah, God's deserted you. Look what's happened. You're no use to pray, Jonah. Jonah, you put yourself here. And then that hideous laughter that only Satan can cry out, he began to laugh and do everything he could to prevent Jonah's cry. Jonah, there's no need to pray. Up and down he goes. Jonah, there's no need to think you can get out of here. Jonah, look what God has done. But Jonah kept to that cry. I still remember God. God, if I never get out of here, I still remember you. God, if I never leave this, I remember the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What are you going to do, Jonah? What are you going to do? Here you are in something you can't take care of yourself. You know, most of our difficult times we put on ourselves, I think, a lot of many of. And most of them we can get ourselves out of. Most of them I can bring myself out of. But Jonah, you're in a predicament you can't get yourself out of. It takes God. And it's in these things that we realize how much more God means to us. Sister Williams in our church, about a year ago, a year and a half ago, had a condition. She was losing her eyesight. And she had no idea why. The doctors were running all manner of tests. They rushed her to different clinics across this part of the country. Couldn't figure it out. But gradually, but surely, her sight was leaving her. And she was not an old lady, not elderly. And here she thought, well, what am I going to do? You know, nothing can be done. And finally, one of the last specialists they knew to send her to, they said, well, Mrs. Williams, all we know to tell you is we just don't know what the problem is. And she stood up one Wednesday night. She came, the sight still failing, still not able to go out in the sunlight at all. She stood up, and I'll never forget just a simple cry. She said, it's when you hear words, we can't do anything. Said, I guess sometimes it takes that to get us to turn to God. When I can't get myself out of it, Lord, I need you. And it wasn't just within the next couple of weeks that sight condition had reversed itself. Gradually, sight had started coming back. The doctors who knew didn't know why it was leaving. They had no idea why it was returning. Tonight, it's back to normal, and it's all coming back. I remember God. I remember God. I remember God. The greatest thing that I can do in my life is remember the Lord. Am I in the beginning? I bring myself down. It's when I fail to call on Him that I bring my problems and my troubles. Jonah, What are you going to do now? What you going to do with your condition? What you going to do with your problem? Jonah, you can't get out of here. And I like what the verse said. Jonah said, I will sacrifice with the voice of my thanksgiving. All he said, here I am in the midst of hell, the weeds wrapped about me. I feel the despair. I feel the loneliness. I feel the grief. I feel the certainty of death. He said, even with it all, I'm going to praise God. Through it all, I'm going to offer thanksgiving to God. Not after he was brought up out of the fish's belly. While he was in the belly of the fish. While he was in the fish, he praised God. We got churches that are filled with people that want to shout after the answer comes. They want both their eyes now. Oh, church, please help me. They want to cry. They want to boo-hoo. They want to get out and just say, I don't think I can ever come up out of this. But when it finally comes, if the answer comes, then it says, praise God. Worship God. I think Jonah tells us something.
Amen.
He praised God while he was still in the midst of the problem. He praised God by his own words in the belly of death. I'm going to praise you, God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to praise you, God. Sometimes it might seem a little ridiculous when we're discouraged, when it seems like it's been a while since we have received the blessing that maybe we want, and we all go that way. I mean, it's not, it isn't anything to say, well, not me, I never do. If you never do get to that point, come talk to me after service. I need to have some encouragement. There's times you go and you be, it seems like a month, just praying, God, I just need that special. I need it, God. I put your finger on it? No. Am I lost now? God, no. But there's something I need. And it's in the midst of this. Will the sun ever shine again? Will it ever seem to break forth on me again? It's in these times I need to be praising God.
Amen.
It's easy to praise God when revivals fall. It's easy to lift hands and believe God when souls are receiving the Holy Ghost. But I think the real saint of God is going to remember God in the dry time, in the weak time, in the discouraged time, in the problem time. I'm going to praise God for what he has done. Hallelujah. Thank God. Things aren't going right on the job. Just praise God.
Amen.
Oh, you mean that'll make the boss stop mistreating me? I didn't say that. I just said praise God. I didn't say if you're out and you got four flat tires and you're pouring down rain and I start praising God, you mean immediately those tires are going to get fixed? If it does, I don't know if I want to ride in that car or not. I don't think it works that way. But there's something in me. I love you, God. I still praise you, God. I may be in the belly of hell, but I praise you. And I believe it was that praise. And Jonah said, I look to your holy temple. I think as he began to cry out to God, there was a little preparation before he prayed. I think he gathered a few of those decaying fish that whale had last week for supper and just brought them over. By now the smell wasn't so bad, he's getting used to it. He put them together and maybe he just was eased over enough to put an elbow up on top of one of those fish and just said, I'm going to go to church. But Jonah, that don't look like a church and it don't smell like a church. Brother Sammy, no smiling face there, but he went to church. How do you know he did? Because he touched God. How do you know he went to the house of God? He touched God. I'm going to the temple. I'm going to the tabernacle. In the belly of that whale, of that fish, Jonah went to the house of God. Began to worship God. And the Lord brought
him. Amen.
Now, if you would have gone after it was all said and done, if you'd be walking by that seashore just a few minutes after Jonah had managed to come up out of that whale, His eyes couldn't focus into the sunlight. It had been 3 days and nights in darkness. He was still laying in the vomit of that way. All that filth and stench, the weeds still wrapped about him. And what was Jonah done? I don't have too much doubt that old Jonah was still standing in the middle of that vomit saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Thank you for bringing me out. I didn't think you could ever see." And if you'd walk by, you'd think, "What an idiot. Look at that fool over there. What in the world?" But you see, you don't know what Jonah just went through.
That's right.
Someone's liable to stand in the middle of the service when you think everything's dead. We might see what a friend we have in Jesus. And as we begin to sing it, there might be one song that someone in that congregation will lift their hand and begin to stand, and tears will flow, and you say, "What the world's wrong with them? Don't they know things are dead around here tonight? We're not having one better service. What's wrong with them?" You don't know where they've been. You can let them alone and let them praise God. Hallelujah. What might touch me might not ever reach you, but you've not been where I've been. If you come up out of the valley of hell, you ought to praise God. If you come out of an impossible, hallelujah, an impossible situation, I believe you want to worship.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I remember the Lord. I remember the Lord. Let us stand tonight.
Glory.